This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Man, Steve Kerr had some things to say tonight, and they're kind of interesting. We may be able to dive into them later, maybe even tomorrow during the Free Fun Friday show where, you know, it's all about fun.
And Steve Kerr?
It's interesting. Okay. And I'm also interested to know Popovich's approach to this, too, and just kind of where all these guys are going to land on some of these conversations. So
President put those two on blast yesterday.
Yeah, and do you think it was right? Do you think he needs to?
No, I mean, I don't think he needs to, but I did kind of think he made a couple of points. They're a bit hypocritical on this issue.
Okay. The Braves are back in the postseason. Well, they were.
Oh, they lost.
And the tomahawk chop came up.
Okay.
One of the players, Ryan Helsley, who is a member of the Cherokee Nation, pitches for the Cardinals, said that he thinks it's disappointing and disrespectful. He said, I think it's a misrepresentation of the Cherokee people or Native Americans in general. Just depicts them in this kind of caveman type people way who aren't intellectual. There are a lot more than that. It's not me being offended by the whole mascot thing. It's about the misconception of us, the Native Americans, and it devalues us and how we're perceived in that way or used as mascots, the Redskins and stuff like that. That's just disappointing part, the stuff that still goes on. It's just disrespectful, I think. And so he said that. And then the Braves followed up, Kevin, by saying, you know what? We're not going to pass out the foam tomahawks. And we're not going to pursue the tomahawk chop. They didn't want to do the chant. And how does that go, Colby?
It's the...
Everybody knows it. I mean, right. Just thinking about what we saw when we were kids watching those Braves teams. Like, that's where I did that start then?
So I was reading something. I'm not sure if this is 100% accurate, but they started doing it because it was the old Florida State bit. And so when Dion got there in 91, they picked it up.
Okay. All right.
I don't know if that's right, but I do kind of remember it going back that far.
Yeah. And that's what I'm seeing in this other story that I just looked up too. And that's been their like mainstay. And I don't know if it affects the players. I don't know if it affects anything, but you do have to feel like whenever you have an entire stadium chanting something, it starts to feel a little suffocating to the opponent. However, 10 runs in the first inning,
I'll take it out of you.
There was no suffocation there at all. So,
yeah.
And State Representative Trey Kelly called the 10-run first inning karma for the Braves' decision.
Dumb.
And he said, this is painful. Have to feel like this is karma for the unjustified and rash decision to do away with foam tomahawks. Now, that's a bit, right? That's a bit, right?
I don't think so.
He was being serious about that?
I think the more and more that I like watch these people and listen to them, the more and more I think that they find issues that they think people will get behind, no matter how nonsensical they are, and they go after it. So I don't think he's doing a bit.
Georgia Republican operative and former Mike Pence advisor Nick Ayers also said, maybe don't ban the tomahawk chop next time. And then Georgia Tea Party co-founder Debbie Dooley said, the Braves jinxed themselves by catering to a politically correct snowflake.
So nobody's going to talk about how they just got whooped baseball?
They got whooped. That's all that
How does that help their political agenda, though? Maybe next time invest more in your starting pitching and not your weird stadium.
Yeah.
I think all of those comments are stupid. Like, I think the idea that you lost this game because you banned the tomahawk chop really is stupid. But I do think it brings up a legitimate conversation that I'm fascinated by. How many people have to complain? Let's just stick it with the sports narrative here. How many people have to complain before you have to do something about it, or before you do something about it? Because this instance, it was one person.
Mm-hmm.
and they decided to drop it. And then you kind of compare that with, obviously, the NBA thing. I know that's a whole different spectrum, but I will just say, like, obviously, you have now it's building to hundreds and now thousands of people who are going to be complaining about it if they haven't already. And the NBA is like, you know, they're going to take more time with this because obviously it's a significantly bigger spectrum.
And hold, before you move further, I want to address this because you said one person and they decided to drop it. Well, the official word was that they dropped it for the game.
The game just that the one game?
For the one game that he was playing in.
Okay, so and that adds to my fascination about it then. Is, I don't know, like if you drop it because somebody is offended, it would, I don't know, it just kind of seems to me like then you would realize, like, if it's bad enough that you would drop it because somebody is offended, you would drop it for good, or you would not. Like,
one would think.
But that's clearly not the direction they're going. So then my curiosity is, like, where would you kind of draw the line? Because in the Braves, in this instance, they were like, all right, well, we're not going to do it for this one game because this one guy is offended. But then whenever the next group comes through and they're not offended, then we're going to pick it back up. And does that mean they'll never do it against the Cardinals again when it's a home game? Or, like, how's that all going to work? So, like, what do you think is going to be the standard that this becomes?
It's kind of mind-boggling to me. Unless somebody who heard this was already offended by it in the organization. Unless somebody that was already in there was already, like, looking for a reason to start taking that away. That's
how
the
likely do you think that is? Because
that's
really
the only reason why in my brain it makes sense.
Okay.
When you hear somebody from an opposing team tell you that one of the things that you guys do is offensive to him, it has to be somebody else going, there's somebody else that thinks it. Thank God. Well, let's go.
And you also have to remember, like, this doesn't happen in a vacuum. This happens after years of multitudes of people and, like, entire indigenous people, like Native American nations, telling, you know, various sports franchises, this one in particular as well, hey, we don't like that you do that.
And that's what fascinates me all the more, is that is not enough.
Sure, but what made them do it in this instance is we're going to have this guy actively standing in, like, probably the most prominent position, which is pitcher, standing there because we are always looking at the pitcher because that is where the next action is going to happen most of the time. You have that guy in, like, the direct juxtaposition of the entire stadium doing that chant when he is standing right there after publicly saying that it makes him awkward, then it becomes a discussion point.
Does that mean then that you, like, so then it has nothing to do with they feel it's the right thing or
anything? Well, I mean, if they felt like it was the right thing, one,
they did it a long time ago.
And then two, if you, once you acknowledge it, you probably say, hey, this is not cool all the time, as opposed to, yeah, we're not going to do this while you're looking.
Okay, but it always starts somewhere, right? Like, let's just say that this was the start of it, the Braves dropping it for this one game. Do you think that this is something that's going to spread, or do you think it kind of starts and stops with this and then everyone just kind of moves on with their life for at least a few years? Or do you think this is the beginning of a trend?
Well, with the Braves losing, this could, it could start back up next year.
And it will. Yeah, absolutely.
And so that means that, you know, whoever was offended or hurt or whatever by it might have time to cool off and forget about it completely. And so this story could go away very quickly.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know about that, because once more, we got entire, you know, Native peoples, nations saying that they don't like this for a long time. Like, that
pressure
continues.
But I don't feel like that got the traction you would think. Like, it gets picked up for a minute, and I remember the fever about the Redskins needing to drop, but, like, everybody moved on, even though you're right. There were a ton of, well, not everybody, but, you know, like, the society, for the most part, moved on. Even though you're right, there were a ton of people. So I do kind of wonder that, like, how quickly do we move on? And we're like, oh, yeah, that offensive thing, like, do they say, I don't care anymore.
I think these things happen, changes happen when there's, like, a building, like, mounting pressure to change, right? Like, because we acknowledge that these are companies that are interested in their bottom line and not much
else. Of course.
So when the consumership tells you that you need to change, that's generally the incentive that makes them do something. I think it's when you get a certain amount of change in public perception, I think that does it. And, you know, when you do things like this, you don't help your public perception.
I do wonder also, are they going to ban people from their stadium for doing it? because that's ingrained in that stadium's history. You know, they've done this for almost 30 years now.
Yeah.
And so if their fans show up and start doing that like they always do, are they going to be like, I'm sorry, you have to leave? And
I can absolutely see that.
So, I mean, that's another thing that goes into that is how do they treat something that they've that's been a 30-year thing for them?
Well, and I think it kind of ties into what's happening with the NBA right now because you just saw a couple of those people got kicked out of the game for, they say, holding up and supporting Hong Kong, and people in the stadium are like, no, they were just being disruptive. And again, it speaks to the thing about the bottom line. I read something really fascinating today. I don't know what the teams are, if this has been substantiated by multiple sources, but they said 5 to 7 teams in the NBA had started calculating a salary cap of 10 to 15% lower in anticipation of losing the Chinese revenue stream.
Yeah.
Like, that's wild to me that, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. Like, be prepared for any conceivable scenario. So
I say any conceivable. Wow. What seems like the likely scenario as like whatever, I don't want to say platitudes because that has a negative connotation, but whatever apologies that you have put out there don't seem to have done very much in the immediate aftermath.
This story seems to continue to get bigger by the day.
So yeah, how ridiculous is that, that the players are going to have to suffer financial losses because of a GM? A GM makes this little tweet, and now the players aren't going to be able to get as much money as they should.
That would be weird if that had like a specific backlash just to the Rockets because everyone viewed it from
as their problem
perspective.
They lower just their salary cap for every other team.
I mean, I would obviously support that.
I'm in support of that.
I do see some parallels between the Braves situation and the NBA situation in terms of like trying to see who you can force to make a change and who you can't. For the Braves, it was just one game. For the NBA, it might be. I mean, look, not that that means something's going to change for sure, but I always think when the president gets involved, regardless of who the president is, like, you kind of take it serious to a certain extent.
I do wonder if this is going to be the approach from here on, is to use sports for political activism.
Yes.
And just be like, all right, this is a look at how fired up people get. Look at how it turns the tides. And maybe that is, Kevin, because one of the things we discuss a lot of times in this business is, yes, we are a sports station. How do we get a casual fan that is not necessarily a sports fan to listen as well? Because you got to broaden the spectrum of your audience. And maybe the sports fan is not a political fan. And they avoid it. But when you bring that in, now you've incited them to pick a side. And maybe it creates more activism.
You saw with the NFL a couple years ago why sports leagues will fear this. Because it was for a variety of factors. But overwhelmingly, the lead factor for the drop in NFL ratings were people were tired of listening to political talk with Kaepernick and the like drifting in to their sport. Like, regardless of what side you were on, people were tired of it. They're like, I just don't want to hear about it anymore. And that's why the ratings dipped. And once it dissipated, well, big shock. They're right back up and they're actually higher than they were a couple of years ago. So, yes, you're right. I'm also fascinated by that. Look, we've already seen it here. The Cowboys absolutely got involved in political activism when they picked up Michael Sam. That is something they were asked by the NFL to do because you couldn't not have the first openly gay player who did get taken in the draft and then subsequently, I think it was by the Rams, and then subsequently released, you couldn't have that out there because that's a negative story that the NFL didn't want to deal with. So they went to the Cowboys and said, will you pick up Michael Sam? And so they did. That's 100% true. And so the NFL has absolutely already got involved with activism, and so have the Cowboys. Whether they mean to or not, they definitely have.
It's a way to make people pick a side almost on whichever is going on in the political world because a lot of people just aren't interested.
Sure.
Just not interested. But you start messing with something that they are interested in, then they have to pick a side.
And I mean, like, I think we should be careful the way that we talk about this because sports does have a long, rich history of like being influencing politics. So like there is that. It's just there's certain political points that end up being flashpoints, especially when we talk about like this current political time that ends up being more fraught.
I feel like it's back on the upswing to like closer to the times of, obviously, the first person, at least that I'm familiar with, that jumps to mind, though I'm sure, obviously, it goes back even further. Well, yeah, it goes back to like Jesse Owens, and like it probably even goes back further than that than I'm even aware of. But the first person that jumps to mind to me is Muhammad Ali in terms of political activism, and then also to a certain extent religious activism. And then it just feels like you hit a lull because so many big name athletes, Michael Jordan at the forefront, was like, look, Republicans buy sneakers too, and they just didn't want to get involved. But now you have, you know, you see Steve Kerr, Steph Curry, Greg Popovich, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, like so many people, and that's just in basketball, stepping out on politics. And I feel like it's another wave of, you know, those athletes getting involved when for a while it seemed like it was kind of dormant.
Was it the 68 Olympics?
With
John Carlos and, yeah, Tommy Smith.
Was it 68?
Yeah, double black glove.
And I just don't know because you're right, Reggie, and it's been across. It just feels, maybe because we're living it right now, more polarizing than it's ever been in certain situations. Was it always that polarizing when sports were used in the political climate?
I feel like it was in the 60s, especially. I go back to the same example just because I've seen so much and read a bunch about this. Muhammad Ali, when he didn't go into the draft and they stripped him of the heavyweight championship and he wasn't allowed to fight, like, people despised him because he was their, to use Reggie's term, flashpoint for the draft. Like, either Muhammad Ali to some was a hero who stood up for what he believed was right, or Muhammad Ali to others was a coward who disrespected the country. And like, if anybody disagreed with you, I'm not here to hear that. And it kind of feels like you're in that climate right now, specifically when it comes to the president. Like, how many people have you had conversations with and they're like, oh, if you're for Trump, you're an idiot, or if you're against Trump, well, you're stupid, and blah, 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 blah. It feels like that all over again, and that it's almost impossible to have a middle ground. Like, just look at, you know, former Rangers owner George W. Bush. He was hanging out at the Cowboys game with Ellen. And Ellen had to address on her show why she sat next to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then after, she was like, I like people and I think we should all get along. And then Mark Ruffalo the next day, Hulk, came out and called her a moron.
Can't, because what he did for his dad.
Yeah.
And our troops have suffered.
And that was from people sitting together at a Cowboys game. They should have sat together at like a Bucks game. Then nobody would have known.
My friend Sean Kidwell with Cowtown Brewing out in Fort Worth just hit me up and he was like, yeah, don't forget about in 74 with the hostages. You know, like that was a political climate too.
And I mean, we can even take this to like,
the Olympics have always been
Reggie,
72.
The 72 in Munich, and then the 80 and 84 Olympics. The Russians were like, oh, you're United States is like, we're not going to be in these Olympics, and the Russians are like, well, we're not going to be in your Olympics, and that was all political climate right there.
And we're talking about politics, and politics often gets used as some level of like pejoratives with the negative connotation.
Yeah, it does.
You can look at it as some people would view it positively, like after 9/11, where George W. Bush, speaking of him again, gets up on the mound at Yankee Stadium and throws the first pitch. Like, there's a lot of things in which politics also plays in there. So, I mean, yeah. I mean,
the Miracle on Ice. Like,
yeah, that's
people,
also true.
People legitimately thought that was a blow to communism. Like, just think about how odd that is. To the structure of a country and a government, losing a hockey game was going to topple them. But
that's
like,
wild.
It really is. And then I was watching,
because it was proof that we could violently stand up on our own.
Okay, it's funny that you say that. I actually watched a 30 for 30 about like some Little League team, I think from Jersey, that won the Little League World Series in the early 80s. And they beat like the Chinese Taipei team. And that was so huge at the time because of some shifts in the political climate. And it's like so weird. These little kids winning a baseball game could have shifted the geopolitical culture, just like skating better on the ice could have changed the outcome of the Cold War.
I mean, it's why some nations pour so much money into their Olympic squads, just because, you know, they want that public stage.
And after that sentence that Kevin just said, the only thing my brain is doing is singing the Captain Planet theme. Captain, I don't know why. Planet. Also pejorative.
I went and looked it up. That's a great word.
Expressing contempt or disapproval.
Okay.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.